Good morning. Who here can quote for me Psalm 126, verse 6? Anybody? Don't look it up. Who can quote it? Good. Good. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now there's a promise there. The promise is to return with the sheaves that have been reaped. But there's three elements in that promise. Number one, you have to go. Okay? Number two, you have to bear precious seed. Now, the precious seed, the Bible tells us, is the Word of God. So we must go, number one. Number two, we must take the Word of God with us as we go and present that Word. Number three, he that goeth forth and what? Weepeth, tears. That's the third element. And if we conform to those three elements, God says we'll return doubtlessly with the fruit. Right? So I hear sometimes, well, you know, it doesn't work. Well, is the Bible true? If the Bible's true, then it does work. And if it's not working, then one of those three elements we're falling down in. At least one. Okay? The most likely of those three is the last one we mentioned, tears. Tears. God give us a broken heart for lost people. God help us to shed tears for the lost. I think of Jesus when he looked on the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We need to see folks that way, with compassion. If we'll have compassion for the lost, if we'll shed tears for the lost, and we'll go and we'll take the gospel message to the lost, God's promise to give us souls. That's his word. And it's just as true as John 3:16. Now, if it's not working for us, then we need to examine ourselves as to why it's not working. Which one of those three are we letting down in? Is it we're not going? Is it we're not taking the word of God to the lost? Or is it we're not shedding tears? It's got to be one of those three. Amen? The point is, we can't blame God if we don't see results. It's not God's fault. That promise is still true. So what we're trying to do in this Sunday school is help equip us, each of us, to go and to tell, to have compassion for the lost and win the lost. That's what we're trying to do. So I warned you last week, today we were going to call for volunteers. How many of you came prepared to volunteer? Let me see your hands. There's one and two and three and I'm sure there's more out there than that. Okay. I assume the rest of you are all up to speed then. We got a couple of volunteers who volunteered to come. Brother Greg, Brother Gene, if you'd come. Brother Gene, Alan, excuse me. Where'd I get Gene? Okay. Okay. These two fellows are going to be a team. And they're going to go knock on doors, and they're going to try to win a prospect. Now, it's going to be a difficult prospect they have to win, because the prospect is going to be Pastor over here. He's graciously volunteered to be the prospect. So let me give you a microphone. Now, you two have to decide who's going to be speaking and who's going to be the silent partner. So you need to be together. You need to get over here, Brother Allen. Pastor, here's your mic. Now, how we begin? We're approaching the door.
Yes, looking for something to come.
Okay. Okay, so you're approaching the door. You need to knock on the door.
Good morning. How are you doing? What can I do for you?
My name is Alan Crosno, and this is Greg. And we're out talking to folks about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And was wondering if we could speak to you for a few minutes.
I'm really kind of busy.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you are busy. There's a lot of folks that just, they don't keep busy. They wander and play great games and all kinds of stuff. By the way, I just wanted to let you know, those rose bushes you've got out there in the front, those are wonderful.
Oh, thank
they're
you.
They're beautiful.
Thank you.
But salvation is something that we came to talk to you about. And I know that your time is valuable. But if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit of time with us.
Well, I used to go to church, but I kind of lost interest.
A lot of people do that. But the most important thing about message that we have for you today is your eternity, where you're going to spend eternity. And that's what we would like to spend a couple of minutes with you to show you. Would you mind letting us?
I'd like to be a little bit of time, sure.
Okay, let's go in.
You're just coming into my house, huh?
By the way,
don't let me backstage you.
Alan,
go over here.
Greg. Okay. Beautiful home. Got
Thank
a
you.
Nice home here.
Thank you.
The thing that we're wanting to share with you is from God's Word. It's not something that is church-related other than it is propagated by the church. It's not something that is a tradition, but it's something that is extremely important, and that's your eternal life. After this life is over, we have one of two places to spend eternity, and we would like to share with you how you can spend that eternity with God in heaven.
Well, I'm a pretty good person.
I've never
done anything all that bad. I'm sure I'll be okay with God.
Praise the Lord. That's good. The Bible tells us, though, in Romans chapter 3, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So even though you are a good person, which that's a wonderful thing, we have a sin nature. And this is what Christ died because of, is we have the nature that was passed on to us from our father Adam, which gave to us a sin nature as well. And Christ died on the cross for that purpose. Every one of us are sinners. I'm sure that if you search your life, that you'll find that there might be a time in your life when you have experienced a lie, told a lie, or done something that wasn't correct, and you recognize that as sin. Is that correct?
Yeah, but never anything all that bad.
Okay, that's good. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, therefore, we have sinned, and Christ has to forgive us of those sins.
Okay.
And so, we would like to share with you, just for a moment, the fact that Christ did die for your sins. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah, I believe in him.
Amen.
Sure.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. The Bible tells us, though, that just a head knowledge of God is not enough. The Bible says that we have to repent And we have to ask the Lord to forgive us.
Oh, I ask God to forgive me every day.
Oh, is that right? That's good. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation in a one-time faith?
What do you mean, one time?
The Bible says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not something that we do every day. It's something that we do only one time. We call upon the name of the Lord. He forgives us of our sins. He cleanses our heart. He comes in and indwells us. And then he gives to us that eternal life with him.
Well, that's interesting. I'll think about that.
How about right now?
How about right now what?
How about you think about it real close right now? Because
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. The Bible does say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you like to be saved this morning?
Well, I do that every day. I ask the Lord to save me from my sins and forgive me every day.
That's true. But I said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You put your faith and trust in Jesus the one time for salvation.
Yeah, I never heard it that way before.
Yes, because Christ died for us one time. And if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith, Galatians says that faith cometh by hearing. Oh, I'm sorry. Boy, that scripture just went out of my head. Give me a help.
Faith cometh by hearing, and
hearing by the word of God. But the Galatians one. Anyway, it's a one-time act of faith that you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you for being a sinner and save you from your sin and give you an eternal life in heaven. Would you be willing to pray this morning and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart and be your Savior?
How far do you want to go with this?
Just through the plan of salvation.
Okay, let's stop.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, fellas. Now we're going to try that again. And did they do a good job? Did a pretty good job. Okay, we got the plan of salvation out. But I'm going to go through it again. This time, I'm going to present the plan for Pastor here. If you go easy on me now.
Person to be praying, because you need the Holy Spirit's involvement. And then the second thing is, try to watch the person and find out what their question is. What I was trying to get them to do is to explain to me how it's a one-time thing. We have a lot of trouble with people like that. They say, oh, I ask the Lord to save me all the time. And so you need to bring them to that place where they realize that salvation is a one-time thing.
And the third thing is that silent partner is to try to prevent any interruptions, because the devil's going to try to interrupt this process. If he can, he will. So the silent partner has the opportunity and the responsibility to try to prevent any interruptions from the presentation of the gospel plan. Okay? All right, let's try that again.
Good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. My name is Richard, and I'm from Vision Baptist Church, and we're just out visiting in your neighborhood this morning and inviting folks out to church who don't have a church home. Do you have a church home anywhere?
Not anymore. I used to go to church, but I quit.
I see. Where did you go when you went to church?
Oh, it was a Methodist church.
Methodist church. And why did you quit?
I got more important things to do.
Okay. Well, we'd certainly like to invite you out to church and offer you a tract so that you can know the schedule of our services and where we're located. We're one block south of Glendale on 135th. If you come up Dysart, one block before Glendale, you turn west on Ocotillo.
I know where that is.
And we're a couple blocks down there on the corner.
Okay.
We'd be honored to have you come and visit with us.
Well, thank you.
When you have an opportunity.
Appreciate
but you know, there's something more important than going to church, and that's knowing for sure when you leave here, you're going to heaven. Let me ask you, do you know for sure when you leave here that you'll go to heaven? Or would you have doubts about that?
I'm a pretty good person.
Okay. How good do you think a person would need to be in order to get to heaven?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got any idea.
Well, then you can't know you're going, right? If you don't know how good you have to be, you can't know whether you're going to go or not.
That makes sense.
Did you know the Bible says there's a way you can know for sure when you leave here you're going to heaven?
Hmm.
Did you know that?
I can't say that I did.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you believe the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
If I could show you from the Bible how you could know for sure when you leave here you're going to heaven, would you like to know?
I think that would be good.
Okay. Well, let me show you a verse of Scripture. It's in 1 John 5 and verse 13. And it says these things, let me show it to you right here so you can read it along with me. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life."
Hmm.
Now, that verse says several things. One thing it says is you can have eternal life today. Eternal life is for how long?
That'd be a long time.
That's forever, never ending, everlasting life. And the word have is in the present tense, which means you can have it today.
Hmm.
You can have it right now. And the Bible goes on to say in that verse is the way you can have it, or you can know you can have it. It tells us you can know you have it, right? Through what's written in this verse and what's written in this book. These things have I written that you may know. So through what's written in the Bible, we can know for sure when we leave here, we're going to heaven. Now, what is it that's written that tells us? Well, if we back up two verses, we don't have to go very far. If we back up two verses, it says in verse 11, this is the record. This book, the Bible, is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. It lasts forever. God gives it to us. And this life is in His Son, the Bible says right there. It's not in a church. It's not in a denomination. It's not in baptism. It's not in good works. It's in a person.
Hmm.
And that person's name is Jesus.
Hmm.
Now, what does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Well, the next verse explains it for us. Verse 12 explains that. It says this, "He that hath the Son hath life." And we're talking about eternal life in these verses. "He that hath the Son," that's Jesus, "hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, according to that verse, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who have Jesus and those who don't have Jesus. And according to the Bible, those who have Jesus have eternal life, and those who don't have Jesus, they don't have eternal life. Is that a faithful representation of what that verse says, you think?
I believe so, sure.
Okay, so then if I can know for sure I have Jesus, then I can know for sure I have eternal life, according to that verse. And that verse is true.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question becomes this. How can I know for sure I have Jesus in my heart?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a fair answer, an honest answer. Let me show you from the Bible how you can know for sure Jesus is in your heart. There's a promise. It's in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 where Jesus is speaking. And these are His words. And it's a promise. Here's what it says. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, the door He's talking about isn't the door to your house. You know what door He's talking about?
Mm-mm.
He's talking about the door to your heart. He wants in your heart. Now, He's not going to force entry. He's not going to knock that door down. But He's going to knock and ask you to open the door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him," or fellowship with him, "and he with me." There's a promise, and there's two parts to that promise. Part number one is what we must do, or you must do, and that's open the door and invite Him in. Number two is what He must do, and that's to come in and fellowship with us. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe if you did your part of that promise and opened the door and invited him in, do you believe he would do his part of that promise and come in?
Sure.
I do too. In fact, I know he would. He did it for me September the 8th, 1952, and he's been there ever since. Hmm. And he's done it for my partner. He'll do it for you. Hmm. So let me ask you this question. Would you like to, right here, right now, invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Okay, well, here's how we're going to do that. The Bible tells us we're all sinners. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. And what that means is there's nobody perfect. There are no perfect people in the world. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that word all includes me. That makes me a sinner. It includes my partner here. It makes him a sinner. But more importantly, that word all includes you and makes you a sinner. Let me ask you, do you believe today, what's your name, by the way?
George.
George, do you believe that you are a sinner, that you've sinned against God?
Oh, sure.
That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Well, that's the first point, is that we're sinners. Number two, Romans 5:12 says, but God commendeth, well, that's not the right verse. Wherefore is by one man, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man. That one man was Adam. Are you all familiar with the story of the Garden of Eden? God placed Adam in the garden.
Yeah, everybody's heard that.
And God said, of all the trees in the garden, thou mayest freely eat except for one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, that's what this verse is talking about. Wherefore, as by one man, that was Adam, sin entered into the world. Adam disobeyed God, and that's what sin is, disobeying God. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. Now, according to that verse, what he's telling us is this: sin has a consequence. Sin has a penalty, and that penalty is death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Do you work a job?
Yeah.
Okay, so you earn wages in that job. The Bible says that our sin earns wages, and the wages it earns is death. Mm. And when the Bible speaks of death, it's not just talking about physical death, but it's also talking about spiritual death, eternal separation from God in a place the Bible calls hell. Mm. And what that means is this: the penalty for sin is death and hell. Now, we've already established I'm a sinner in the verses we read previously. And according to these verses we've just read, if I were to die today, where would I have to go? I'm a sinner. I'm under the penalty of sin. Where would I have to go?
Hell.
I'd have to go to hell, wouldn't I? And if you were to die today, where would you have to go?
Hell.
Hell, that's right. I haven't given you any good news, have I?
No.
No. The good news is coming now, because God saw our condition. God saw our plight. God saw that we were helpless and we were hopeless. And God did something about it. Romans 5:8 says this: but God, I like that word, but God commendeth his love towards us. In other words, God showed his love towards us, or he demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, in spite of the fact that we'd sinned against God, turned our back on God, rebelled against God, he still loved us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Hmm.
Now, you know who Jesus Christ is.
Oh, sure.
He's the virgin-born Son of God. He came here 2,000 years ago. He lived here for 33 years. And during those 33 years, the Bible tells us he did no sin. Jesus never sinned, not one time. Never lied, never cheated, never stole, never disobeyed his parents. Jesus never sinned, and yet this verse tells us he died. Now, he didn't die for his sin because he didn't have any sin. Do you know whose sins he died for?
Mine, I guess.
That's right. It says he died for us, our sins. You know, when I used to read that verse, I would think about a giant football stadium filled with folks, maybe 100,000 people, and all those faces, but no names associated with any of those faces. And that was the picture I had of what Christ died for. But you know, that's not exactly true. Jesus was able to put a name with every one of those faces. He knew me 2,000 years ago.
How about that?
He loved me 2,000 years ago, and he died for me 2,000 years ago. He suffered my pain. He bore my punishment. He paid my penalty for me as my substitute. And do you know what, George? He did the same thing for you. Do you believe he died for you?
Oh, sure.
Do you believe he paid your sin debt so you wouldn't have to?
I guess so.
You guess so? Do you believe the Bible?
Sure.
The Bible says he did.
Okay.
Okay. So do you believe he did?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So I'm trying to determine whether you believe that or not.
Yeah, I guess so.
So you're not sure?
I'm sure.
You are sure. Okay. Well, then we can go to the fourth point. And the final point is this. Is if we'll call on him, if we'll ask him to save us, the Bible says he will. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if we would be willing to call on him and ask him to save us, the Bible says he will save us. Now, let me make one thing clear. We're not saved by calling on him. We're saved by believing in him.
Okay.
Okay. The question is asked one time. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We're saved when we put our trust and confidence in Jesus. And what he did on that cross 2,000 years ago as our hope for heaven, our only hope for heaven. In other words, it's not what Jesus did on the cross plus me going to church. It's not what Jesus did on the cross plus my baptism. It's not what Jesus did on the cross plus my good works. It's simply what Jesus did on the cross that pays my sin debt and makes me fit for heaven. When I trust that, and only that, as my hope for salvation, would you be willing to trust what Jesus did for you on that cross of Calvary as your only hope for heaven?
Yeah, I think I would.
Okay. Then we need to pray. And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to pray. And just ask, in your own words, if you would, ask Jesus to forgive your sins, come into your heart, to save you, take you to heaven when you die, and help you to live for him every day from this day forward. Could you do that?
I can try.
Okay, I'm going to pray, and then I'll ask you to pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for George and his desire to know you as his Savior. And Lord, I pray right here, right now, you'd give him the faith to trust you and to receive you into his heart as his Savior and his only hope for heaven. In Jesus' name. Now, George, if you would pray.
Jesus, I know I've sinned, and I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you have forgiven me. I pray that you would forgive me and come into my life and be my Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, George, let me say this. If what we just did in the prayer you just prayed were just words, it's not effectual. Mm-hmm. But if you meant what you prayed from your heart, God says you're saved.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the question is, that you meant it from your heart. And God knows whether you did or not. Because God sees our hearts. Okay, so you could fool me, you could fool other folks, but we can't fool God. So if you meant that prayer from your heart, would you shake my hand? Amen, God bless you. Now the reason I ask you to shake my hand is because you're going to get another visitor when I leave. And that other visitor, you know who he is. He's visited you before. He may wear a red suit, have horns on his head, carry a pitchfork. You know who I'm talking about?
I think so.
Well, when he comes, what he's going to try to do is talk you out of what you just did. He's going to tell you you didn't mean it. He's going to tell you the Bible's not true. He's going to do anything he can to talk you out of the decision you just made. And when I ask you to shake my hand, what I was trying to do is reinforce in your mind that what you just did, you meant from your heart. You weren't being deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I want to show you a verse of Scripture. You may be familiar with it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Is that George? Did you believe in him today?
Yes.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, George, according to that verse of Scripture, if you were to die today, where would you go?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I have life, but I don't know where I would go.
Well, let's read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not die, but have everlasting life. Life never ending.
Mm-hmm.
So according to that, life everlasting would take place where?
Not sure.
Okay, that takes place in heaven.
Okay.
With him. Okay.
Okay.
So according to that verse then, if that's true, according to that verse, if you were to die today, where would you go?
Heaven.
Who said?
The Bible.
Whose word is that?
God.
Can God lie?
I don't think so.
No, God cannot lie. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie. Okay? Now, so when I go to the Bible and read a verse like John 3:16, God's speaking to me. When the devil comes and he tries to talk me out of it, he's speaking to me. Now, he talks in this ear, and God talks in this ear. He never tells the truth. Satan never tells the truth. He always lies. God always tells the truth. He never lies. Guess which ear I'm going to listen to?
God.
That's right. That's right. That's the one that's dependable, one I can rely on. And that's the one I'm going to listen to. Let me encourage you, when I leave, go get your Bible and write down in the empty page in your Bible what you did today, that you trusted Christ. On this day, April 2nd, 2017, you trusted Christ as your Savior. You'll have that as a constant reminder of what took place here today. Would you do that?
Sure.
All right. And we'd like to invite you out to church.
Thank you.
Okay. At your earliest convenience, this Sunday, if you can. Okay. Are you available on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay. Well, we look forward to seeing you there on Sunday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you. All right. I think that does it. Thank you, Pastor. Okay. You heard that. Anybody have any questions about that? What was that?
Thorough.
That's the silent partner. That's the silent partner. That's right. There's always going to be something. Satan's going to try to throw a monkey wrench into the works any way he can. Now, and it's almost without fail. I mean, it's rare that you are able to present the plan of salvation and there are no interruptions. It just almost never happens. That's why it's good to have a partner there, one who can intercede, one who can step in and take care of that occurrence, whatever it might be. A dog, a kid, a salesperson, who knows? If it's a man and wife, yes. If it's a man and wife at the door, I see no problem with them going in. So that means there you exercise your judgment.
Let me take this back to you, but I was in charge of this. You entered the room, you invited you in.
Absolutely.
Lower it down or shut it off.
Turn it off, yeah.
Ask them permission. Don't tell them to do it.
No, you're a guest in their home. I deal with them at the door. Yeah. Somebody said something about being thorough. It should be thorough. It should be thorough. You don't want to make it too long, but you don't want to make it too short. And when you talk to them, use their name. You heard me use George over and over. That's good. Use their name. That makes it feel more personal as you're dealing with them. Okay? Actually, I think what I would do is deal with that person. And then once you've dealt with that person, then ask that question. Is there anyone else here? Yeah, and you know, I don't think you need to make a conscious effort to do that. If you're prayed up and you've prepared like you should prepare, you don't have to make a conscious. It'll come through. You're there for one reason, to get the gospel message to them. This may be the only opportunity you will ever have, or anyone will ever have, to get the gospel message to them. So if they say something like, not today, I may come back with something like this. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together. You know, that we normally use that as speaking to the sinner, but you know, that also speaks to the Christian. Now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Now. Not next week. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You have the opportunity today. Take care of business today, because you don't know you have tomorrow. That's the urgency of what we're doing. This may be the last opportunity that person has. So we want to do everything we can to see that they hear the gospel while we're here that day. You're not always going to be able to do that, obviously. But you make that effort, every effort, to get that gospel message across now. First house. First house. Yes.
So don't be afraid. Go with somebody that'll help you.
But this young man was ready. We didn't have to convince him. He was ready. You know, I don't know of anything in my experience, in my 64 years as a child of God, almost 64, that's brought me more joy than leading a soul to Christ. Or made me feel closer to God than I did when I was leading that soul to Christ. If you want to live closer to Christ, go soul winning. Well, what it comes down to, does a person believe the Bible? If I can get them to acknowledge they believe the Bible, then we're pretty much well on the road to getting them to Christ. If they'll acknowledge they believe the Bible, because we can show them from the Bible how they can know. The thing is, almost every door you go to, you're going to have a doctrinal disagreement somewhere. Most of those doctrinal disagreements you need to pass over. Don't address them. Because the devil will use that as a trick to sideline us from why we're there. We're there to get the message across, the gospel across. And if we can get the gospel message across and get them to accept Christ, most of those doctrinal issues will disappear. For example, eternal security. If I can get them to pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart, that issue of eternal security will go away, because everlasting is how long? If it's only till I sin the next time, was it everlasting? No. But the Bible says what? Eternal life, everlasting life. Is the Bible true? Well, then that resolves the issue. Do you believe the Bible? By the way, there's no verse of Scripture in the Bible anywhere that says if you sin, you lose your salvation. It's not in there. You can't lose it. I give unto them eternal life. You know, sometimes I'll go through what a gift is. You've heard me do that. A gift is something you accept. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You simply receive it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Pastor says we're out of time. We have good questions, and I thank you for the questions and for your attention. If you have any more, don't hesitate to ask them. We'll try to answer them for you. Doesn't have to be between 9 and 10.